everyone, and welcome to Check Out This Guy, the podcast where we talk about some fun little freaks, Tally. I'm Spike, and we're going to talk about one of my freaks today.
I'm Emery. I'm also talking about freaks. My pronouns are they, she, he. What if a guy was little and funny? That's what I'm here to answer.
But not king freaks.
True. True. This isn't a Hunter Hunter AU.
Ah. Sad. I'm Elviud. My pronouns are they, he, she. And I'm not bringing any freaks to the table today, but maybe I'll leave with some freaks. I've been known to steal a character in the past.
You're here to learn about freaks, yeah. And what...
Take me to freak school.
Yeah, you're not allowed to steal these two.
Oh.
I mean, we do say it at the end of most podcasts that stealing is legal.
Can I copy-paste?
Yeah, as we all know, you would download a car, so.
I sure would.
So we're back in Fellowship, we're back in ESOverse, and Spike and I are going to be talking about our player characters for the first campaign in that world, which was run by our friend and past guest, Dan.
Heck yeah.
And yeah, we both love these characters a lot. And we have a whole heck of a lot to say about them. So we're gonna try to keep it tight. We're gonna try not to keep Elvira up too many hours past bedtime.
You know you're lying to yourself.
Elvira, We've given you this box. Just reach under your chair. Mm-hmm. Inside is a gun. It's what you can use to make sure that we stay on task.
This is a horrible idea. I cannot aim. I might shoot someone else by mistake, like I don't know, a politician or something.
Yeah. No. Put that away. We don't want you to hit Craig. All right, Spike, I have a timer for 60 seconds here on my phone. Tell me about Xenu's backstory. Go.
Oh, that's not enough time. Fuck you. So Xenu is a remnant. She was born at the tail end of their civilization. She grew up in Meattown. She worked at their equivalent of Taco Bell in the kitchen because she had no useful aptitudes. Hey, here's the one nice thing I can say about remnants. They gave no fucks about gender.
30 seconds.
I'm gonna go over. just know this. And now you've distracted me.
Yeah, better get back to it. 13, 12.
I'm gonna sit here in silence until you behave. So... She had no aptitude.
That's Xenu.
We can't do this. This is not fair.
Okay, keep going.
The new name of our podcast is Bully Spike.
Yes, that's fair. so for real, she had no aptitudes according to their society, which I guess this is their equivalent to gender bullshit. So she got to be a Taco Bell cook. So we had the whole discussion on the previous episode. We don't need to talk about what happened to the remnants, but she got left behind. She was basically just like a living skeleton at that point. Go her. And then she got to be like... the only remnant that stuck around and interacted with the peoples and civilizations that came beyond that. And she slowly, like, found some remnant caches where she was able to make advances on her body to be, you know, closer to what she wants to be. The big important things, though, are that at one point she encountered the dragon known as the Challenger, and then fought him like once every 100 years, and, you know, kind of got a lot of practice in fighting because of that. And then also, she fucked up. She fucked up real, real, real bad because the goblins gained, like, full-fledged intelligence, and...
Yeah, we talked about the goblins last time, yeah, I think.
Yeah, but she...
Go listen to our first ESOverse episode if you haven't already. That's got context for you.
Yeah, but the only thing I want to say is that she became like the god queen of them for a few years, and then realized how fucked up that was and ran away and hid for the next few 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was the end of it.
Yeah, because like the goblins were like, wow, your people created ours? That must mean you're some kind of god queen. And Xenu was like, yeah, sure, I'll take it.
This seems like an easy time to have.
Yeah, alright, then I guess I'll talk about Gilly a little bit. So they are a halfling. Halflings, as I mentioned, were, you know, evolved from these little tiny mustelid creatures who got genetically experimented on a couple of different times, so they became more humanoid and sapient. Gilly, you know, and the thing about halfling society is that they're all about, like, you know, sort of adapting cultural practices of other peoples and integrating them into other societies, because they're just kind of tiny little guys. Like, they don't, you know, they don't really hold their own in a fight as a general rule. They're like very pacifist, like very like, okay, let's like, yeah, like, let's find solutions that like work for all parties. Like, let's, you know, Let's do our best to like make sure everyone gets along, and you know, that's sort of just like out of practicality, because again, they just really couldn't hold their own in a conflict with like really any other species. So they just sort of adopt like other cultures, like, you know, any sort of like major population center of like most other species, you'll just find a ton of halflings there. Like, their kind of thing is that they live alongside other people and just kind of do their best to get along with everyone. So Gilly is, Gilly was apprenticing under an appraiser called Goosefeather Mary. You know, they wanted a job where they would like get to travel around and see a lot of, you know, cool people and cool places and cool things. You know, they were initially, you know, set on being a merchant, but then everyone was like, no, you're like fucking way too honest and and straightforward to like actually to be a good salesperson. No, do something else. So they got accused of being the Demon Lord, and the hero attacked their home. You know, luckily no one was hurt. Like, luckily Gilly managed to get out of there, but they're kind of being hunted down by like the most powerful human. You know, so they head up to Jerichova, where the Heroes Guild, you know, the Adventurers Guild headquarters is located. And along the way they meet some friends, including Xenu.
Mm-hmm. So what was your character concept going in?
Going into session zero, I had like very few like sort of preconceived ideas. I was thinking that I would either play like a halfling or an ogre or something. I was like,
just one of the two extremes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One of the two extremes. Like, all I really know is that I want like zero middle sliders on like the height setting.
We go all or nothing.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, Gilly was sort of a response to, like, the characters that everyone else were making, because, like, everyone else had, like, very combat-focused builds, like, you know, everyone else, like, you know, we got, like, a fucking, you know, a literal dragon, like, a thousand-year-old, like, ancient technology a millennia-old ancient technology robot, like, who else, like,
We had an elf that could control anything made out of wood.
Yeah, a bandit queen, like a hugely important figure for their people. Yeah. I think that was like the first iteration of our party, but yeah.
Meanwhile, I just assumed that the game wasn't actually going to happen.
Oh
yeah,
because I had been in so many aborted tabletop games at that point.
Oh, I feel ya.
So I was like, okay, well, I can at least go through character creation and have fun there.
Uh huh.
So like my main concept was, oh wait, the rules of this game, you know, you can just have like a robot vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Who is just like, and the rules of the game like reinforce them just being awful to everyone for their own benefit. I'm like, okay, that's my character.
Mm-hmm.
And that sure didn't last.
So yeah, again, going back to my character concept, like, yeah, everyone makes these really cool characters that seem like they could have like big important, like, you know, that, you know, they have like really like sort of epic proportion, like, you know, ties to the world, like roles in among their like respective people. And so I was like, I don't know, I kind of just want to play, like, the normal guy who gets swept up in things. I want to play, like, the face character. I want to play, like, the plucky kid who, you know, learns to be heroic over the course of the adventure. And, you know, when Dan told us about, like, the premise of the campaign, like, oh, like, this is a world where isekai exists, and, like, all the quote-unquote isekai protagonists have, like, formed, like, this adventurer guild, and they're all bastards. I was like, oh, if the hero is the bad guy, then does that mean one of us is the demon lord? Oh, what if Gilly is the demon lord? That would be really stupid. And, you know, the initial idea was like, oh, I'll have this like silly little side plot, like, you know, I'm not going to take up too much of the spotlight because, you know, look at all these other cool characters. And then Gilly just like absolutely became the main character, like no question about it. The Demon Lord.
Yeah, but it sounds like you had a galaxy brain idea. Actually.
Yeah, the Demon Lord thing really became like the main thread of the campaign, I feel like.
Uh-huh. It sure did, and it was very good.
Thank you, yeah.
So, anything else before the campaign actually started?
Yeah, I don't think we need to like get too much into the world building or anything, like,
no.
You know, we had our character making session, we had our map making session. I think we'll probably get more into like the actual details of like the campaign and the continent it's on when we have Dan back on.
So like first session was kind of with a different party than we ended up with.
Yeah, kind of like half the party ended up having to drop out due to scheduling conflicts. But then we got Patrick, so we were back up to three. We were back up to a workable number of players.
So we started out in media res, basically, and Xenu and Gilly had already met. And, like, I think what happened was, like, Gilly got attacked by the guild one day, and Xenu saw it and was just like, nah, that one. I will protect this one. Hey, I'm your bodyguard now.
Yeah, truly, truly the selfish, self-interested bastard that you, from moment one, really. Great job sticking to the character concept.
Wow, I did kind of mess that up from the very beginning, didn't I? I mean, there has to be that core, like, seed of something better to grow on, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we started out going to New Pittsburgh, where Gilly's cousin was located.
I don't think we have to hit, like, every plot beat. Like, let's go through, like, what are some, like, major turning points for the characters, you know?
Uh-huh. I was just seeing if I could bait you into talking about that whole thing. We can skip it.
Let's save Gritty for when Dan is here. Okay.
So yeah, like we went and met Jericho, the head of the guild, like super super early, like session 3 maybe.
Yeah,
maybe it was only session 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was 2, because, like, we got there, like, right after we beat the Kraken in session 1.
Yeah, we beat the Kraken. That was session 2.
Yeah, so initially, like, all Gilly wanted was, like, just to clear their name. Like, they weren't really, like, invested in, like, anything else the guild was doing, or, like, you know... Or like all the harm they were causing. They were just like, hey, it seems like there's been a mistake here. It seems like someone accidentally, you know, seems like there was a clerical error. Someone accidentally typed my name in the Demon Lord box.
Oops, how'd that get there?
Can we get that fixed, please?
Mm-hmm.
And Jericho was like, no, absolutely not. But also, yes, if you collect some ancient technology for me. And Gilly was like, okay, that's definitely a lie. Let's get the technology and not give it to him.
That'll prove he's not an evil overlord.
I mean, so we went over there, which was the last city, and we got in there, and Xenu found out, I was like, oh, here are the last few remnants here who basically just like, oh, they immediately went back to the city, like, as soon as as she left, like, they went back into the city and just, like, locked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that whole thing happened. We did steal some of the technology.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
Yeah, we stole a little VR headset. Uh-huh. Well, that was given to us.
Yeah. We met. Yeah, we got that. We got some of the like mind transference equipment
mm-hmm.
that you would use to transfer someone's consciousness into one of these crazy robot bodies, and yeah, like. Like, we met a funny little guy named Sami.
We broke his Chobits DVD. Aww. Or rather, Gilly did.
He's a bit of a rude boy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You could say that.
No, Gilly is very nice.
Yeah, he sure sounds nice.
Gilly watched anime for the first time and immediately became friends with this fucking Adventurers Guild general who should have been their enemy.
Uh-huh. So, like, we went back to the Guild HQ, and we did hand over the tech.
Oh yeah, no, we did. We kind of just like gathered up a bunch of junk uh-huh. to be like, okay, here's the technology, we got it for you.
Yeah, like the only quote unquote useful thing was like the mind transference thing, and Xena mm-hmm. was like, yeah, all this thing would kill whoever uses it, so that's safe to hand over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, some stuff happened in between. Uh-huh. We met Silica. We went to I forget what happened. We had like a little moment there where like we had to go through like a toll bridge.
That's where we met Silica.
That's where we met Silica. Then, like, right after that was the Tenacious Spinball Tournament,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so our fun little Goku boy, Ethan, he got...
Another general of the Adventurers Guild.
No, one of the original party.
Right. Ethan was the dragon, sorry.
Yeah.
Common mistake.
Yeah.
So he kind of got, I guess, kidnapped by... the gold dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that left behind a message saying that that's where he was. So we headed to Boss Vegas and met Boss Hoss, the gold dragon.
Yeah, who is a real, real bastard man who like loves putting people in indentured servitude to pay off their debts from gambling because this is fantasy Las Vegas.
Yeah, and the guild was planning on assassinating him. While he was also working alongside them.
Yeah, so these guys, like, really competently run organization.
So, yeah, so as part of this, we did engage in the sport known as Tenacious Spinball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is like a combination of pinball and basketball, I think.
Yeah, sort of.
You gotta get the ball in the hoop, but also you gotta bounce it off a bunch of bumpers first without letting it touch the ground.
Yeah, like it has score multipliers. Below the basket is a pool of water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a hell of a thing. We won?
Congratulations.
Yeah, we won.
Who was it that we played against for the final round?
Yeah, final round was against Lance, wasn't it?
Yeah, because the hero and his crew.
Yeah, and like, you know, earlier while they were in the city, like they had avoided a few confrontations like with the gang earlier, like, you know, one of the generals was like a dragon hunter and we had a dragon on our party, like, so Gilly somehow managed to talk that conflict down. Like the Adventurers Guild like tried to assassinate Boss Hoss, like the night before the tournament, and I forget how, but Gilly all... No. Like, Gilly was just like, hey, what are you doing with this guy? The Demon Lord is in this city. And then pointed them in the direction of, like, the other halfling who was pretending to be the Demon Lord.
Fucking corncob.
I love corncob.
I don't.
Oh, we'll talk about Corn Cob more when Dan is here, but yeah. I love that little guy. I love that little shit.
No, it's like, I hate Corn Cob, and, I think that is the definition of bleed. But yeah, so... We won Tenacious Spinball, and that made
Lance... But at what cost?
Huh?
We won Tenacious Spinball, but at what cost?
We pissed off the hero, and he definitely made a scene, and Xenu got kind of fucked up in the process.
Uh-huh. Xenu kind of got damage taken, put on her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which was bad, given, like, per rules, like, it was very, very hard for her to take damage. And then, like, also per the rules, she could not heal herself through normal means.
Sounds complicated.
Uh-huh. So, Xenu gave some warnings about, hey, you know, at this point, if I lose consciousness, my body's gonna just do shit on its own, so I'm gonna go sleep for a while. Can you please take me to the goblins? Because I trust them more than my own people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this stresses out Gilly a lot, because here's the thing, Gilly and Xenu are friends.
Uh-huh.
And Xenu kind of really seems like she's dying.
Yeah, I guess so.
And Gilly, I should mention, extremely anxious character.
Oh, boy.
Just the most catastrophizing little guy you've ever seen.
Uh-huh. With a few verbal tics, too.
I made up a filler word that is culturally specific to halflings. They say tally in every sentence, except when they don't, which is usually because I forget to say it.
Uh-huh. So, we did get to go to the Goblin Spire. I had a very relaxing time for a session or two because my character was unconscious for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just gonna turn it over to you for a little bit, I guess.
And hey, you know what else is stressing out Gilly at the moment? The evil fucking sword that they picked up as a reward for the Tenacious Spinball tournament.
Shit. Yeah.
One of the items in the treasure pile that was offered to us was called the Blade of Darkest Night, blade made out of pure void-like shadow, a blade made out of the void, essentially. Uh-huh. Basically a magic sword that had been, like, tainted and corrupted by this dark force, which we kind of just made up on the spot.
Uh-huh.
That definitely isn't gonna, be significant later or anything. Yeah. So, like, the official description of the item in like the actual source book says that, like, it you know, it's a sword that, like, grants you power, but, like, at the cost of your own sanity. So I was like, you know, for some reason this is really calling to me. This is something I want for Gilly. This seems like a fun thing to pick. I couldn't tell you 100% why, but it feels like the right decision. Mm-hmm. I guess this is the part where I talk about mental health. I wanted to, like, figure out a version of the item that actually makes sense for the character, and, like, given that it's a sword that, like, steals your sanity, like, I wanted to, like, figure out how to do a version of that is not just, like, your typical, like, ableist, like, depiction of going insane. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, like, what specifically does this look like for Gilly? Like, what does this do to their tiny little head? And kind of the thing I landed on was just, like, it gives them, like, just a ton of, like, low-level intrusive thoughts all the time, and, you know, also makes it, like, really difficult for them to sleep. Making it even more difficult to sleep is the fact that one of the dragons wants to kill them when they pick up the sword. Mm-hmm. I forget if we mentioned, but one of the dragons is the Argent Dreamer, who basically, like, eats void energy, like, you know, that like seeps into people's consciousness. It is, like, basically, like, the one force, like, keeping the void from taking over Iso, and so he's like, oh, the Blade of Darkest Night, that's a hella powerful artifact, I should just kill its wielder, because they're hella dangerous.
He has some very straightforward thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we were saving the dragons for a future episode, so I don't think we talked about them before. At least in any sort of detail other than to say they exist.
Yeah, that's the main thing you need to know for now. Gilly had a dream where they almost died, so it was just like, okay, no sleeping after this.
Yeah, Can I say real quick what I took for winning Tenacious Spinball?
Go for it.
So we were given different choices, and then like we also found out that there was like an additional like vault within the vault.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we were told we could pick anything out of the vault. So Zio is like, well, there's this vault within the vault. I want to see what's in there. And started negotiating with Boss Hoss and ended up getting like most of the indentured servants, like getting their debt wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And doing it in a way where Gilly got all the credit. Because yeah. that was the other thing about Xenu is that she was super, super manipulative.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That was a super selfless thing of her to do.
Uh-huh.
Kind of feels like you messed up the character concept again.
Did I? Or is there something in common with all these types that she goes against that concept?
You know, it seems it couldn't possibly be that she's doing it because she likes Gilly or anything.
Yeah.
Couldn't be that they're friends.
Uh-huh.
No, of course not.
Yeah, couldn't be like she had friends before, just not very often. Because, hey, when you're immortal and everyone dies, that also does stuff to you. Especially when it is like your existence is set up in a way where it is very easy for you to feel sad and angry, but very hard for you to feel things like happiness and joy.
Mm-hmm. Once again, we know this. It's called depression.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I didn't realize when making and playing this character. I know there was a whole issue with the guild attacking while Xenu was out. Do you want to talk about that, or is there anything else that should be covered in addition to that before?
Yeah, boy.
Waking back up?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, like, you know, the guild does attack the goblins, and Gilly just, like, fucking scares them off by, like, invoking the name of the demon lord. So, like, this also stresses them out. They're like, oh no, I'm not, like, doing things the halfling way anymore. I'm, like, making threats. I'm, like, you know, I'm scaring people. I'm, like, fucking, you know, I'm becoming this, like, truly villainous figure. Also, ooh, I got this sword that keeps putting a bunch of horrible thoughts in my head. Also, there's this prophecy that says, like, no, I actually am the demon lord and I'm gonna destroy the world. Is this a problem? Is this anything I need to worry about? It seems like I do, because I'm very, very anxious.
I think you got a deagle by this point also.
Yeah, Gilly stole a handgun. I forget when that was, but they sure did steal. No, I think that was pretty shortly after Xenu woke up, I think. Okay. Because, like, that's when they, like, fucking chased down a sniper.
Yeah, but, like, I just wanted to mention, it's like, we saw a movie not too long ago where a deagle showed up. And I was having the time of my life when you started commenting about how ridiculously huge that handgun was. And I was like, that's Gilly's gun.
Oh, yeah.
How big was the gun compared to Gilly?
I'll post the artwork. Uh-huh. You know, you don't see the full deagle. It's like in a holster on their back.
Uh-huh. No, this gun is like half of Gilly's size, I think.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So yeah, Xenu wakes up eventually, having gotten No, being a lot less robotic, still mostly being robotic, but kind of a reverse cyborg now.
Mm-hmm.
Using and has organs that are derived from a blood donation given by Gilly.
Yeah, she got some cloned Gilly organs, because once again, as we talked about last time, because of genetic fuckery, uh-huh. You can just, like, take any random halfling and clone an organic remnant body out of them.
Yeah, that's a little bit odd, but hey, it works. It was very cool in the moment. Hey, so Xenu wakes up kinda, you know, like you would from a hospital, kinda on the good drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And very much feeling different because now she can, like, feel things normally. Both in the physical sense and in the emotional sense. Hey, what's the history on Tally?
Oh yeah, it is kind of a, you know, it is a corruption of a word that that like called telly, which uh-huh. basically used to mean like you know, someone or something that like captures your attention completely, and it's like mm-hmm. this big like term of endearment uh-huh. that is like, you know, very, very meaningful uh-huh. in halfling culture. And then yeah. it kind of got corrupted over the years. And it's just like, oh, that's like a funny little interesting thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the word just kind of got like used to the point where it's like, just kind of like a filler word, just kind of uh-huh. means whatever you want it to.
Yeah. So you have someone here who, oh, and like, I remember your description was that someone that was outside, like an outside observer, they would make the mistake that was like romantic.
I did specifically sort of say like, I don't think I said like that in particular, but I was like, oh, it's not a word that necessarily carries romantic connotations.
No, like it definitely, that's an improper use of it, but I think you said that there were like mistakes made by people who didn't know what it meant. Like guessing at the meaning.
I forget if I said that, but yeah.
Anyway, but the point is, like, Xenu wakes up and the, like, first thing she does is refer to Gilly as Telly. You know, but keep in mind, she's one of the few people who knows, like, the proper usage of that word.
Yeah, and this kind, you know, Gilly just, like, barely registers this. They're, like, fucking stressing out about 10 different things, and, you know, their friend who was in a coma just woke up.
Yeah, and like, Gilly, like, almost killed a person on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the guild attacked fucking again while Xenu was asleep.
Yeah, which led to, like, a whole comedy of errors later on, based on Gilly freaking out and being really upset about that part of it, but it being explained to Xenu as in a way that made her think it was because she referred to Gilly as Telly.
Oh, we love communication.
Yeah, that was a whole thing for a little bit in the campaign. Let's see, like,
yeah. I kind of want to go speedy now.
Yeah, I know, and I'm just like,
we can go over. I am enjoying listening to you guys talk about
it. Oh good.
But here's also the thing. Like, that's the stretch of the campaign that, even though it's the furthest back, that's the stretch of the campaign that is most solid in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So like, was what happened next when we dealt with Gilly not sleeping, or
I think before we get there eventually, I do want to like quick make a stop in the Elven Kingdom, just to talk about.
Yeah, we kept on going back and forth across the map.
Yeah. So Gilly gets real pissed off in the Elven Kingdom, because, you know, like, kind of like first person they meet when we get there, like, oh, they find, we find out, like, they're hunting down this, this Elven criminal who, you know, is, fucking gonna get the death penalty for stealing a funny artifact. And that person is the elf who used to be part of their party. So yeah, Gilly gets mad about that. Also gets mad about the fact that, like, you know, they're going through this Elven Kingdom. They're, like, gonna meet the Matriarch to, like, you know, ask for help defeating the Adventurers Guild. And, like, there are people there who have, like, never seen a halfling. And, like I said, halflings are fucking everywhere. They're, like, they're integrated into, like, most population centers on the dang continent, and these elves have just, like, never seen them. So, like, Gilly is, like, you know, so pissed about them being, like, this fucking sheltered, like, this mm-hmm. whole culture seems like bullshit, like, they're just, like, these like, elitist isolationist fuckers who, like, don't care what's happening in the world. So, like, you know, They fight off Lance the hero and, like, actually, like, remove, like, some mind control gem mm-hmm. that, like, the guild master had placed on him, and yeah. you know, sort of snap him out of it so he realizes, like, what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that was kind of a turning point there. Well, also,
one quick addition. Lance the hero also fucking murdered the challenger, which should be impossible because the challenger's whole deal is they cannot be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we defeated Lance in turn.
We sure did. Then, like, Gilly, then they do talk to, like, the Elven Matriarch. Gilly is super mad at her. He yells at, or they yell at her until, she decides to, you know, until she actually offers them help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's like, okay, we'll do whatever you need, to help you on your quest. Cause, like, the fucking guildmaster, like, stole an elven spellbook and is causing all sorts of trouble with it. And we haven't done anything about it in our many years on this planet. Mm-hmm. So Gilly is like, okay, you got so pissed off at my friend for stealing an artifact. Where do you keep the rest of them?
the elemental stones.
You sure
did take all of the elemental stones.
Yeah, no, you know, like, Dan, like, described the room where, like, all of these stones were being held, and it was kind of like, okay, Gilly, which one are you gonna pick? Like, and I'm like, what do you mean, which one? I'm going down the line. I'm grabbing them.
I think they kept fire.
Nope. They had fire in a, you know, like, sealed off in a cage because uh-huh. that was the one with the most destructive power, but Gilly got it anyway.
Okay.
And then I think we already mentioned Gilly just, like, spends the rest of the campaign just, like, giving the stones away to other people. Cause, like, yeah. the queen was like, okay, you know, we'll let you use those. Like, we're lending you our aid, but, like, these are uh-huh. super important artifacts. You have to give them back. And Gilly is like, yes, absolutely, uh-huh. ma'am.
Hey, now it's my turn to be like, hey, couldn't do business because they were too honest and straightforward. What happened to that character concept?
They got mad is what. Gilly is like a very straightforward, a very honest and straightforward person. But like, if you get on their bad side, they'll fucking go hard.
Also, Xenu had been coaching them on how to be mean and manipulative to people.
Mm-hmm. I really like Gilly. He sounds so cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there is kind of a parallel, at least I think, between the characters of, like, Xenu kind of, you know, being a manipulative one in a mean way, and Gilly, you know, Gilly, like, very good at manipulating people, but, like, usually just, like, through diplomacy, and, mm-hmm. like, you know, only lying when they need to, or if, like, they see someone who, like, absolutely deserves to be fucking trickeried upon.
Uh-huh. What, one of these characters was made better and the other was made worse through their interactions.
I think, Gilly did learn to be, like, more direct action about it. Like, they learned to do violence, but, mm-hmm. you know, in a way that is, like, for the benefit of, like, the people around them.
Yeah.
Gilly learned Praxis.
Uh-huh. Oh boy, did Gilly ever.
And, you know, like, also cannot emphasize enough, like, being mean stresses Gilly out, like, you know, kind of like their major conflict, like, going into the end of the campaign is like, well, I've talked to this Jericho guy a few times, and it kind of seems like he can't be reasoned with. Kind of seems like, you know, he just wants what he wants and doesn't give a shit about, like, what anyone else thinks or needs uh-huh. or feels. Like, he will, like, literally erase the halfling population just because he doesn't think they look enough like Tolkien halflings. Like, yeah. This is the fucking That's level insane. This asshole is on.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, like, going in, Gilly is like, I think I have to kill this guy. I think, you know, he's gotta die, and, you know, I, at this point, might be the most capable one of doing it, because, like, their powers have been growing, like, with the Blade of Darkest Night. They've got all sorts of, you know, cool, like, shadow manipulation powers mm-hmm. now, and, like, they're, you know, they were initially designed as, like, the face character, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like the little rascally trickster who can talk their way out of anything. But now they're fucking doing violence.
Yeah.
And they hate it. They don't like it.
Yeah, no, like, Gilly started off as a face and became a tank.
Mm-hmm. Not even a tank of, or no, yes, a tank, because yeah. they also got, like, a pretty strong, like, defensive ability from uh-huh. Silica.
Whereas, like, mechanics-wise, Xenu started off as, like, a DPS tank.
Mm-hmm.
And became a face.
Yeah.
I'm trying so hard. I know these are wrestler terms. And I somewhat understand. Face is.
Oh
bad,
no! It's not wrestler terms, actually.
Oh no! I was wrong.
Yeah, it's, you know, in terms of, like, party composition, a face is just, like, you know, the one who, like, does a lot of the talking and is kind of like uh-huh. the representative of the group when it comes to, like, dealing with others.
Yeah, like the A-team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, face is a word in wrestling, yes. but it means something different.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we are using the same term. So I understand the confusion.
Yeah.
I was trying so hard to keep up with your conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. No, let us know if we need to slow down on anything.
Yeah, also, yes, definitely ask questions, but
no, I think I'm up to speed. Gilly looks at someone okay. and says, I will commit a war crime if that's what it takes, and then does that.
Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. let's move back, because we kinda skipped to the end of the campaign. And yeah. like, and there are a few things, like, so I don't remember the order necessarily, but we dealt with Gilly not being able to sleep by having, like, a weird shared dream sequence.
Yeah, because, like, I mentioned that the one dragon is, like, trying to kill Gilly in their sleep, and it's like, you know, Gilly is anxious a lot of about a lot of things, but, like, they're afraid of the dreamer, because, like, in halfling lore, like, dragons aren't even supposed to exist, like, they just, like, contain a kind of power that, like, Gilly can't even comprehend.
Yeah, so one of the very important things to Xenu is that dragons are super important and necessary to the way the world works.
Mm-hmm.
And Xenu was like, I'm gonna go fucking kill this dragon to make sure that they don't harm you.
Oh yeah, like, that, and, you know, to be clear, like, once again, that dragon is, like, the thing, like, keeping the void off of the planet. That would have messed things up really bad.
Uh-huh. No, I believe my bond at that time was I would watch the world burn for Gilly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like the way I was imagining, like, that playing out was going to be, like, Gilly would be the one to suggest killing the dragon, and then, like, everyone else, including Xenu, would, like, have to, like, talk them back from that and, like, find a different solution. But then Xenu just went up and said it, and I was like, all right, this is way cooler.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, like, we had, like, a whirlwind tour of the whole ass world, including going to a fake moon.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the real moon?
Going to a fake moon and fighting a statue.
Uh-huh.
We fought a statue.
Yeah.
And Silica, our other party member, turns the statue into a flesh guy, and then Gilly shot him.
Uh-huh.
With a gun.
The words flesh guy, there's just no way to make that sound good.
Yeah. So, at this point, like, is there anything you want to talk about before we talk about the return to Jerichova, the guild HQ?
Nothing super comes to mind. I feel like we covered a lot of the big points.
Yeah, so we go back there and there's like a lab underneath the HQ where they are both researching Void Beasts and Silica's people.
Mm-hmm.
In ways that are super bad. Silica definitely commits a murder.
Uh-huh. First and only murder of the campaign, which is kind of incredible.
Leave a mark, yeah.
I guess in the active campaign.
I feel like things would have probably gone a lot different if Gilly weren't in the party, because, like, they're so focused on de-escalating generally.
I'm not so sure. Because we collect Lance at that point, and Lance joins us.
Yeah, at this point we've recruited a couple of former generals, including Same, the fucking Chobits DVD guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still love that my character sheet has a bond of, oh no, am I friends with Same-san?
Yeah.
So there was all of that. We kept on gathering more and more allies and friends. I guess I should go back and say that when we defeated Lance, he had two swords on him. One a very simple sword, which was the Challenger sword. And there was a whole deal with that. There was another sword that was like super fancy and powerful. And of the two, Xenu chucked that, the super powerful, fancy one, into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Challenger Sword was the bigger, better one in the long run. But also, like, she took that literally. She took that as the Challenger had, you know, since they can't be defeated, obviously they had been turned into the sword. So Gilly had a sword that talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
And Gilly didn't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
Xenu had a sword that she talked to and was upset that it never replied to her.
Yeah.
Again, we had so much fun with parallels.
Yeah, but don't you just hate it when a sword gives you the cold shoulder?
Yeah, I actually meant to bring this up when I first talked about the Blade of Darkest Night, but then I forgot. Like, the thing about, like, it causing Gilly not to sleep, that's, like, that's pretty directly inspired by, like, a thing in my own mental health that was happening at the time, just because, like, I was experiencing, like, much more prominent mania symptoms around that time, and, like, you know, there were several sessions, you know, where I was, like, you know, like, going into the game, like, on, like, like 5 hours of sleep or 3 hours of sleep, you know, and yeah, and, you know, like, you know, because of that, like, I actually sought out, like, a bipolar diagnosis and, like, got it later that year. And now I'm medicated, which is going kind of, you know, not bad, not too bad, not ideal, but it's going. It sure is. Yeah, so yeah, that was kind of a thing that was, like, directly on my mind when I was, like, figuring out, like, exactly, like, what kind of effect, like, the Blade of Darkest Night would have on Gilly.
So following the awfulness under Jerichova and Gilly again being forced in kind of a kill or be killed situation as we made our escape. After that, Xenu and Silica got together, and, like, there was the decision made of, well, we must make sure that Gilly does not kill Jericho. This is a thing that cannot happen.
Because Gilly was stressing out about it.
Oh boy, was Gilly ever stressing out about it.
They thought they would have to. And yeah, like, for Gilly, like, the stakes to them, at least, were literally, like, if I kill someone, like, can I even call myself a halfling anymore? Like, I've done good things in this role as the Demon Lord, but, like, also, like, so much of it, like, goes directly against, like, everything in my culture and my upbringing. Just, like, you know, the way I keep, you know, solving problems, like, through force and intimidation. And, like, also, like, fully recognizing that, like, no, this is necessary. Like, a lot more people would be dying and getting hurt if I didn't do this. Like, I'm not doing the wrong thing, but just, like, I'm doing, you know, I'm doing something that is, like, incompatible with who I am as a person, and I kind of have to.
Yeah, whereas Xenu has, like, a very skewed perspective on the value of life, because to them, it's like, it's over in an instant anyway. So Xenu is like, yeah, like, no problem ending a life. So yeah, we had like a whole big epic battle that, like, we left Jerichova, went and visited Silka's home, and then returned to Jerichova along with our allies.
We had a beach episode in the meantime.
Oh, nice.
We fucking did.
I love a beach episode.
Yeah, like there are so many fun things that we've skipped. The beach episode was very good. That is when you actually befriended Corncob, isn't it?
Yeah.
The main thing I remember is that I was on Team Meat.
When in the beach volleyball tournament.
Yeah. There was a character named Meat Jim.
We had a lot of NPCs in that one. That's kind of the thing of Fellowship. You gather up a bunch of NPCs, and they're all your friends, and they all go on the boat together with you to fight the evil guy.
So we had that whole thing. Gilly and Silica got to confront Jericho first. And Xenu had a kind of a freak out of not being there and a rushing in to the room. One thing I don't think we've ever mentioned in the podcast is Xenu's power set, like physical power set.
Mm-hmm.
Like the biggest thing was that she had super speed.
Yeah, fast enough that she can like functionally teleport. Yeah, you know?
Yeah. So like she barrels into the room, messes up, trips. Everyone's in a big pile, and Jericho teleports everyone to the human capital into an arena where an execution has been set up.
Oh
yeah, the you know, there's a big arena, and oh, the event of the day is we're gonna execute the demon lord, but he kind of fucked up by like not subduing the party first, because then just Gilly just conjured a bunch of shadow chains and pulled him into the guillotine.
Yeah, and like there was a whole heck of a lot that happened there. Also, Jericho kind of ranting publicly didn't help his case.
Yeah, this guy does not have the fucking sparkly public image he thinks he does. Everyone knows how much of a bastard he is.
Yeah, so Gilly is... So, as I remember it, Gilly was actively trying to murder Jericho.
Okay.
Where, while Xenu and Silica were both trying to fight Jericho and trying to keep Gilly from committing a murder, Xenu did take a chunk of Jericho's brain out.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like functionally cursing him in the worst way that she could think of, which was to take away his ability to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Both emotionally and physically, so that even if like Gilly did manage to murder him, it would be painless at least. Silica did something equally fucked up and severed his source of power.
Ooh.
And left him with like an ever burning flame on him.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him, he couldn't feel that.
Fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And he never died.
He never died, and it never caused any problems again.
Uh-huh.
Definitely never became a puppet of the void, and went back on his bullshit immediately.
Of course not.
I mean, I don't think we should get into any of that.
Yeah, that's for a later episode.
But hey... So yeah, we had our nice little victory. We saved the world, and then Xenu disappeared.
She sure did. Only a little bit though.
Yeah, for like 6 months.
Yeah, you know, after the adventure, like Gilly went back to the family that like they hadn't seen in so long, but you know, like having gone through all the changes they did, they like, you know, felt like felt like an outsider among their own family, and like kind of my plans were like, if Gilly actually does it, if Gilly actually kills Jericho, then they're just not going home, because like they don't feel like they could.
Yeah, whereas Xenu went partly just to prove to herself that she could function separated.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the biggest thing that she did was she went and killed the gold. She went and took out Boss Hoss.
Mm-hmm. Because that guy does suck.
We
do hate him.
Which, we did skip over Gilly completely wiping out the fortune of an adventure capitalist, which...
That's true.
Which is probably more for when Dan's on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Xenu is like, well, I killed, like, the richest thing in the world, so I'm gonna steal part of this fortune, so... They kind of both ended up rich.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. Although, unfortunately, I have to say, eat the rich.
Yeah, well, good luck eating Xenu. Maybe she's like a crab. Maybe that is delicious.
Only one way to find out.
Yeah, so eventually Gilly was the one that found Xenu while Xenu had gone to the area that had been the Challenger's domain and was like building a stone cabin. Not a fucking Flintstones house. I'm never gonna get over that. Just a nice little stone home.
That, I mean, it does sound like a Flintstones house.
No.
Yeah, okay, listen. When I imagine Xenu building a stone home, I imagine her not really knowing how to build a stone home, and it looks like it ends up looking like a Flintstones house. That's all I'm saying.
No, and I'm telling you, she did a good job.
I'm sure she did.
Fair enough.
She did a good job, okay? So, like, she was still building the place and Gilly showed up. So that was good.
Yeah, they had a nice little epilogue scene together.
Mm-hmm.
And Gilly finally called Xenu Telly back.
Uh-huh. Do not separate.
God, you made the most epic love story.
Uh-huh. Hey, but do not separate.
Do them. Not separate.
No, definitely don't. Yeah. We could never do that. We never would. It never happened.
So 20 years later story time?
Boy, do we want to get into that or do we want to
wait for it? Like, this okay. is, like, we'll only, like, only touching on this one thing.
Uh-huh.
20 years later story time. So this is like the preview for a future episode. Yeah, they get separated.
Oh, no. No, you just said do not separate.
Yeah, they get separated. And during the course of the separation, they do battle.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, because...
That's something to entice the audience for later.
Yeah, they had a fight, and it's still not resolved. We're still in the middle of the campaign.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no!
A campaign where they're both NPCs.
I need them to make up.
Yeah. I think we all do.
Yeah, I definitely need that to happen.
What campaign is this? Yeah, I'm going to crash one of your sessions and make this happen.
It's the campaign I'm running.
Yeah, it's currently on a bit of a hiatus while we're playing Eidolon, but yeah, we're going to get back to it.
Uh-huh.
Sometime.
One day.
Not sure when.
And then I'll crash the party and make sure those two make up.
Uh-huh. I mean, we've already discussed it.
Yeah, we have an idea of where things are going to end up with them, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I need you to let me know when that happens. I'm actually really invested in these two now.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, I mean, it might be resolved by Xenu dying, though.
I don't like that.
No. Okay, like, here's the fucking thing. Xenu, I feel like, is always on the verge of dying. Like, you know, like, she...
Quite a character trait, actually.
You know, she had her thing where, you know, you always kind of seem to put her there. Like, she had the thing where she, like, fucking went unconscious for an extended period of time and needed to be essentially rebuilt. Like, I feel like there were a few other times, but, you know, I remember that, like, when we were going into the final battle, she, like, had some big, like, self-sacrificing clan, and Gilly and Silica had to essentially be like, no, fuck no, we're doing it different.
No, it was gonna be that, like, Xenu's plan was to, like, well, if I touch the Blade of Darkest Night, it'll be way more powerful than in Gilly's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but like, also that would, like, maybe fuck up and corrupt her soul or something, or just eat her.
Well, no, I mean, that was the recognized risk, but, like, the plan was to basically summon Space Cthulhus to fuck up Jericho.
Mm-hmm. Good plan. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's no way that could backfire. No,
of course not. When has summoning Cthulhu ever backfired for anyone?
And, like, here's the fucking thing. Gilly knows this about Xenu. They know she has, like, a fucking self-destructive streak. Like, pretty much, like, the whole time, like, since she woke back up, Gilly is like, all right, I gotta... This one's not safe on her own. I gotta protect her, even though Gilly is, like, fucking 2.5 feet tall. You know, they got really good at, like, you know, protecting their friends and, like, throwing themselves into harm's way and just, like, coming out of it. Just, like, mostly for Xenu's sake. Like, I just remembered the one where, like, we were fighting the Hydra and you know, Xenu's, like, final move was just, like, to fucking you know, just zoom out across the water and, like, fucking, you know, like, kill the Hydra in the water. And like, you know, it used to be that, like, water was Xenu's one weakness, like, her fucking electronic parts apparently weren't, like, sealed very well against it, but then, like, post gender confirmation surgery, you know, that she fixed, you know, they fixed that problem, but also, like, she has organic components now, so she still needs to breathe. So she started drowning, and like, Gilly had to, like, you know, go out and rescue her.
There was the very fun sequence of, oh, did I just fuck up because now I'm gonna sink into the water? Oh, wait, no, water doesn't hurt me now, I'm fine. Oh, wait, I forgot, I have to breathe. And I'm like, I think she was, like, ended up, like, wrapped up in chains or something, as part of that finishing blow, so she was kind of stuck there. Yeah, it was great fun. You don't care much about taking a hit when you are functionally immortal and cannot take damage.
Still, though, she still managed to put herself in a lot of incredibly, like, real danger.
I mean, like, so long as there's someone to bail her out eventually.
Yeah, and that's Gilly.
It's like, the worst that can happen is she can't move her body for a while.
Not great. Like, let's be honest, not a great thing to experience.
No, like the actual, like, fucked up awful thing that could happen would be she ends up in a situation where she wrecks the body bad enough, and there's no one around who knows her, so she's just stuck in a non-functional body, cursed to just exist as a trapped mine.
Lovely.
Yeah, that would be pretty fucked up.
Yeah, that would be pretty fucked up. We don't want that.
We don't.
But that is considered the acceptable risk of fighting.
Is it though? Is it acceptable?
Is it?
I mean, she can't die, so yeah.
Do we want to talk about I guess a little more about the relationship-y aspects of Gilly and Xenu's relationship?
Can I call out more?
Let's go, yeah.
Okay, so since you mentioned relationship-y aspect of these two goobers, yeah, like I don't know, like a month ago, I said something about Xenu and Gilly. And Morg replied something back. It's like, well, they're not a couple or anything.
Xenu doesn't know that.
Well, I don't think Xenu thinks in those terms anyway. No, I think Xenu definitely thinks of Gilly in terms of this is my person. This is the person who I would care about at the exclusion of anything else.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's pretty powerful feelings. But yeah, I was just like, I stewed on that for like a day or two, and that was like, I ship these two.
Yeah,
not in like a normal sense that people normally mean shipping, but yeah, it's like I definitely ship these two.
Yeah, like both of the characters are Arrow Ace. Like I always went in like intending to play Gilly as an Arrow Ace character, but you know, then like a lot of the interactions with Xenu happened and I'm like, okay, is there something there? I mean, no, definitely like what you said. They're just like the most important people in each other's lives and like care about each other above anything else. But like, yeah, I still don't really consider it romantic, but like, yeah, like I wouldn't have known how to play it like as a romantic relationship.
No,
like,
no.
Yeah.
Neither would I. So just like, yeah, it's like, hey, if someone wants to try to define their relationship, good freaking luck. I applaud your attempt because I have no clue.
Yeah, they're telly. That's all.
Yeah. So yeah, they are such good little goobers.
Yeah, they have like a halfling, like a culturally specific halfling version of a QPR.
Yeah. And then like I can't help myself on this.
Okay.
I do very have to briefly mention that in a way 20 years later it happened again, sort of. And it happened in front of Xenu, and Xenu is like, what's the deal with halflings and people with synthetic bodies? Is there some sort of link here?
Yeah.
What's going on? I don't understand this.
Yeah, Spike couldn't help themselves. They made another halfling robot pairing.
But the halfling doesn't consider themselves a halfling.
Yeah. Culturally, she's an orc.
Yeah, and then Xenu is not a robot, but this other character is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just think like the Janet meme of not a robot, except for Xenu, it is, yes, a girl.
Makes sense.
Anything else about these characters? I think that's all I have to say for now.
Yeah, like we talked before, like I could go for like 5 or 6 hours. You did a good job reining me in by taking the lead in this episode. Although that was mean what you did to me at the beginning.
but
extremely funny.
I know, I was being a little shit.
I can't believe you guys introduced me to two wonderful characters and now I gotta end this episode knowing that they're not on talking terms. That might be the cruelest thing you've ever done to me.
Yeah, one of them is in space.
The other one maybe died.
Stop killing off your character! Don't do this!
Yeah, Spike, stop doing it. Stop almost killing Xenu. Gilly would be so sad.
Let her live! God forbid girls do anything!
Well, I mean, What happens when Gilly isn't there to save Xenu from herself?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, it does sound like retracting Gilly from the equation really does put a damper on the life survival skills.
Yeah, That was the fucking thing going into the final battle. Like, you know, the plan did require them to be, like, separated before, like, the final confrontation with Jericho. And so Gilly was just like over and over again, like, Xenu, don't die. Stay safe out there. Consider your safety.
Gilly should have given, like, one of those papers that have, like, these questions with yes or no on them so that whenever Xenu's in a situation, they could just follow the little questions to a solution that keeps her alive.
Oh. Yeah, here's a flowchart for not dying.
A flowchart, that's the word.
Yeah. Oh, no, but here's the thing. Xenu would, like... Xenu killed a Kraken. Xenu killed the Bone Hydra. Xenu would fairly regularly, like, take on, like, giant groups of enemies.
She's a very competent fighter. She also just...
Except for one situation.
Bad self-preservation instincts. Yeah.
There is one situation where... Like, I canonized it in like, narrative terms, but it just so happened that any time she was in a battle that was one-on-one versus just, like, a normal-sized, like, person, she fucking whiffed it every single time.
Uh-huh.
Except for... when she got Trixie and did stuff like, well, I ain't fighting you, but hey, I will lay hands on you, and you're naked now. Good luck fighting me now.
Yeah, Xenu got a move where she can just, like, take whatever she wants from someone.
Uh-huh.
Without, like, any effort.
Yeah, and convert it into light.
Yeah, so is that everything? Are we finally gonna let Elvir go to sleep?
I hope so.
As if I'm going to sleep after this. Actually, it's almost 12. I'm going to sleep after this.
All right, let's go to our plugs.
Uh-huh. Hey, since I have no social media, like, just, this podcast has a Discord. Come check out this guy, and, like, we have some cool stuff. There are people here engaged in art fight because that's going on right now. We have a channel for art commissions. We have all sorts of different things. We have a mailbox. We have a place for you to show off your guys. They probably won't be stolen if you post them there. On Mondays, we're almost through having Toku Mondays. We'll be back to Digi Mondays. And yeah, and you do art streams on Fridays.
Yeah.
Okay, like if I'm ever playing an actual, like, video game, I normally stream it, but that's, like, I'm not on any sort of schedule. But yeah, that's our Discord. Come check it out. It's a cool place. It's home.
Yeah.
They do, the Discord does mess with your sleep schedule. That's a warning I gotta give.
Particularly if you're on your uptime and you hang around for art streams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I make great decisions.
Look.
Listen, I'm always happy to have you there.
Yeah. I mean, I do describe the art streams as several of us engaging in deranged behavior while you draw to block us out.
It's the most deranged conversations I've ever had, and I enjoyed every single one of them.
Yeah, we have fun with the art streams. We get silly with it. Yeah. If you just want to be on a voice call and also some guy is fucking scribbling on the internet, good place to go for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm on a podcast called We Write Queerbait, where we explore the blurry line between homie and homo. Last episode we recorded was for a movie called Polite Society, which was very good and very funny. Last episode we released... I forget. I'm looking it up right now. Last episode we released was for Incredibles 2, that famous movie made by a libertarian. And let's see, I'm also on an upcoming audio drama. I'm also on for Affinity with the username Space Robot, where you can find a lot of art of the characters previously discussed. I'm doing Art Fight for the month of July. We're about halfway through July at this point, and I think it'll probably be over by the time you're hearing this, but I'm Space Robot on Art Fight if you want to go and check out the fucking... all the attacks on various friends and strangers that I drew. Yeah, I think that's it for me. Elvier?
Right, yeah, I realize that I have too many social medias. I guess I'm most active on my Tumblr right now, which is matrimcouton.tumblr.com. So I'll just plug that one.
All right. So this podcast is on Tumblr and co-host with the username Check Out This Guy, all one word. We are also part of the noisespace.xyz network. You can go to noisespace.xyz and listen to all sorts of incredible shows. Our last podcast, Digimon Ghost Gaze, is part of the network. You know, as are, a huge number of podcasts made by really cool people. You go on noisespace.xyz, you're gonna find something that you're like. You're gonna find a great new show to listen to, so go do that if you like podcasts.
I think Special Great Snacks just started again, or is that not a NoiseSpace one?
Which
Special
one?
Special Great Snacks, the Jujutsu Kaisen one.
Yeah, Special Great Snacks, Jujutsu Kaisen.
I'm excited about it. Sorry, I mentioned it.
Yeah. I need to watch Jujutsu Kaisen again.
I need to get excited about it again because I read the manga and I hated where they were going with it.
Great.
I just... It went with a story trope that I got sick of years ago. So I was like, oh no, not again.
Maybe the anime will do it better. I do like what the anime is doing with the source material, which is making the action comprehensible and also making the characters a lot gayer and adding in a bunch of dumb little slice of life bits.
Make it gayer is always a good choice. Anyway, not to go on a tangent about Jujutsu Kaisen.
All right, I think that about covers it for us. So until next time, punch a kraken in half. I don't know.
Do a psycho crusher on the kraken.
Get yourself an epic homie that keeps you alive.
Have a competition with your rival where you're both crying and saying that it's your birthday, and whichever one of you is cuter is going to be judged to not be the real Demon Lord.
Oh boy, that did happen.
That could be an episode of Naruto. You realize that what you just explained could be an episode of Naruto.
All right, bye everyone.
Bye.
Get out of here, Craig. Good episode. I'm glad we kept it under 2 hours.